following is a presentation of 65 Toss Power Trap Productions.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. We have got a great show for you. First, we'll look back at the Chiefs' opening week victory over the Houston Texans when the red and gold rolled out to a 21-point first-half lead, held on to win 27-20. And it was complimentary football at its best. The Chiefs had 5 sacks against the Texans. They forced 2 turnovers. Alex Smith had 3 touchdown passes. Travis Kelce had 2 touchdowns and a 106-yard receiving day. And Jamaal Charles returned home to have a big game. But now the Chiefs have a short week as they get ready for the Denver Broncos. It's Thursday night football at Arrowhead Stadium. We'll get you ready for that game like no other show can. We'll have an exclusive interview with General Manager John Dorsey. He'll tell you how this roster got put together and why he's excited. And remember, he's got a perspective. He's won world titles with the Green Bay Packers. Plus, we'll check in on the great career of former Chiefs running back Christian Okoye. In his 6 years as the Chiefs' power back, he had nearly 5,000 yards rushing, still 4th on the all-time rushing list. And he will be featured this week on the NFL Network's A Football Life, that they'll look at his incredible story and his great career as a Chief. Plus, we'll check in with the Chiefs' offensive line, most notably, rookie Mitch Morse. Morse had the highest grade of any AFC center after week 1. And remember, he's a rookie, going up against Vince Wilfork, J.J. Watt, Jared Crick, and others. But now he faces another challenge in a very good defensive front with the Denver Broncos. Let's go under the helmet with the rookie center from MIZ.
Start last week against the Houston Texans. How did the speed of the game compare in that game to what you saw in the preseason?
It was definitely amped up a little bit. The preseason was fantastic just to get our bearings, especially for me, get acclimated to how, you know, the NFL environment works. But that, you know, you're warned, you're not so much warned, but you're told that, hey, listen, as the season kicks off, these games really, I mean, they're really hyped up. They really get going. And that was apparent on this last Sunday.
I'm sure once you step out on the field, there had to be some emotions there. But did you find it hard to kind of control the adrenaline a little bit early?
It was definitely crazy out there for the first few plays. You catch yourself maybe doing a little too much and not focusing on the important things. But I think the most nerve-wracking part of football is when we leave the locker room through the national anthem until the first play for me. Once you get that first play going, you forget the crowd, you forget what everything's going on, and you just kind of focus in. So, yeah, at that point it was good.
At that point, it's just football.
Exactly.
What you've been doing.
At that point, you've practiced it 100 times, and now it's just time to roll.
I asked about one player in particular, a guy that you work with a lot, and quarterback Alex Smith. How close are you guys now? Then you just have the one game, but as far as just being able to understand the same things and see the same things when you're out on the field and understand the offense and what each other are looking for.
Yeah, to kind of go back on what you said before, it's nice to have guys around me on the offensive line, but to have a 12-year vet and such a, you know, guy who's so football savvy, knows everything that's going on. It helps a ton, but I mean, as these preseason games progress and even training camp, you pick up on different nuances, not only with offensive linemen, but with Alex. And, you know, he's very helpful with some of his reminders as well. But for the most part, we were on the same page, and that helps a ton, just the fluidity of the play.
Alex Smith now is going to swing it right to Charles. He makes the catch, 15, 20, turns on the speed, 25, gets to high gear and gets to the 32. Excellent play call by the chess master. And why did the Chiefs draft center Mitch Morse? He got out there in front of that play and made a key block.
Mitch, how do you feel like your skill set fits into what this offense likes to do with getting the guys out in space?
Yeah, I feel like I'd do pretty well in space. You know, getting a head start, getting some running and working angles. I feel like I can work angles pretty well. I mean, the screens here are so much different than college because you have to stay behind the line and you can't be too advanced down the field. So, you know your landmarks, where you're going to be, where the running back's going to be. And, you know, Coach Reed is known for getting linemen downfield and zoning off. And I feel like that helps a ton with me because I like movement. I feel like I'm not the biggest guy on the field, but I like to move around a little bit. And, you know, Coach Reed's offense gives me an opportunity to do that. And that's nice.
The Chiefs' undefeated preseason and all the great work they did in St. Joe during training camp showed the Chiefs' kingdom and the rest of the NFL that general manager John Dorsey has amassed a roster that's full of depth and talent. Our Coach's Corner this week is a special edition because we sat down with the general manager, a very excited John Dorsey.
Today, the Chiefs open the 2015 regular NFL season here in Houston after an unbeaten preseason and a great training camp.
John, your thoughts on putting this roster together, how much more athletic is it?
We've always wanted to get a higher degree of athleticism. We wanted to get more team speed. I think it shows in our draft class. It shows in the players that we have brought in here from other teams as well. We're very satisfied with the direction we're headed.
It's a first and 10. This one's coming in and was picked off by Peters.
15, 10, 5. He'll trot into the end zone. Touchdown.
Boy, they're coming again, and here comes Derek Johnson. Johnson has been terrific today.
How you put your roster together. Can a roster be too old, too young? What about the blend of this group that you have?
I think the blend is right on par where it's supposed to be. To me, this is one of my favorite teams I've ever been around in all of my 30 years of professional football because it's a selfless bunch of guys. I believe we had 32 or 33 players that are 4 years or younger. To me, that's an appropriate mix to have because now you have veteran leadership. You have youthful enthusiasm. When, in fact, you research truly successful teams, you've seen the one characteristic within locker rooms is the older guys will pull the younger guys forward with them. They'll set the bar very high, and those young guys should be passionate enough to understand that, you know what, we have to get up to speed with these guys. If these guys are working that hard, we have to work that hard. And then all of a sudden, with the strength within your locker room, it's going to teach these young guys the pride it takes to play the Chiefs' way. So right now, you know, I like the direction we're headed.
Just a little one, baby. How about those Chiefs?
Okay, last week you played Houston, loves to run the ball. Nobody in the league runs it more than those guys. Now you're going to face a Hall of Fame quarterback. The reason I say that, how do you have to put your roster together where, okay, we're good against the pass, but we struggle against the run, or vice versa?
Well, I think that comes down to a coaching component. You know, my part of this is to make sure that they get the chess pieces to put the match together. Being a personnel guy, first you have to understand exactly the traits that it takes to play on each position and the overall philosophy of the defense, the offense, the special teams. And then we as a group go out and we attempt to go find players that can be versatile. And that's why it's always good, like you were talking earlier about, you know, getting athletes who have speed, because athletes sometimes have a measurement of versatility, and I think that's really so important in today's football. And I think that with the defense and the offensive side of the ball, I think that, you know, the chess game will begin to get played, but I truly believe that the players that we have are more than capable to play this game.
27-20 Kansas City. And again, a very good win that sets up Thursday night, Arrowhead Stadium. We'll have the lights on as the Denver Broncos come calling.
Final question. So this week's a division game. Usually those are backloaded. But how much, when you put a roster together, do you take into account how they match up against the other three teams in this division?
Well, what I'd like to do is I want to try to get the best football players. I want to get the best players because I think when you get the best football players, they will adapt to what you want to do. And then you begin to game plan, and that's kind of how you go about it.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Midwest Ford Dealers, the official car and truck of the Kansas City Chiefs. Overland Park Auto Group, home of the Red Friday Rally. And by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, live fearless. Coming up on Chiefs Insider.
Yeah, I think the story coming out of that game was neither team scored an offensive touchdown, which is one thing to talk about. But we saw something from Peyton Manning we haven't seen in a long time. He did struggle a little bit in this game, averaged just 4.38 yards per attempt. That's the third lowest total for him since 2005. The Baltimore Ravens were able to get pressure, and that was the name of the game, the reason they were able to find some success.
They're saying he's washed up.
I think this is like the first time I've ever seen Peyton Manning really look dejected. He doesn't have the confidence about what the game plan is going forward.
Dropping back here, throwing it over the top.
His arm is shot.
Thrown into the ground toward Anderson.
He's missed his window.
It's a new offense for the Broncos. It's not as fast-paced and as hectic as we've seen the last 3 years under Peyton Manning.
Probably what he wants you to think, too.
Kansas City's got that football!
Welcome back to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. I'm Pete Sweeney. We're going to bring B.J. Kissel back on for Focus Point. B.J., this is a big Red Thursday game, but the Chiefs are coming off that big win down in Houston and the 27-20 victory over a Texans defense. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of storylines from this game. That's a good problem to have, and you got a lot of different things to talk about. But for me, it was Alex Smith's performance in the first half. Went 15 of 20, 193 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Really found a groove with Travis Kelce and that whole group in the first half. And then defensively, they found a lot of ways to bring pressure and to get pressure on Texans quarterback Brian Hoyer. They finished the game with 4 sacks and 2 huge takeaways. Both of those were set up by outside linebacker Justin Houston. You saw Marcus Peters' interception. It was kind of cool. His first NFL play was an interception. A lot of that was because Justin Houston bull rushed that right tackle, shoved him back into the quarterback, wasn't able to step into his throw. Peters made the play on the ball, and the last one, Houston just beat him around the edge, got the strip sack fumble. Allen Bailey jumped on it. Both those turned into 14 points, ended up being the difference in that game.
All of that led to the victory for the Chiefs, and they enter this Broncos game, and it's kind of cool. I know it's very early, but both teams still undefeated. The Broncos also won their game against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I think the story coming out of that game was neither team scored an offensive touchdown, which is one thing to talk about, but they're both those teams are dealing with new offensive coordinators. But we saw something from Peyton Manning we haven't seen in a long time. He did struggle a little bit in this game, averaged just 4.38 yards per attempt. That's the third lowest total for him since 2005. The Baltimore Ravens were able to get pressure, and that was the name of the game for them in this game, the reason they were able to find some success.
Now, BJ, you mentioned Peyton Manning's historically low numbers, but Peyton Manning's still Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and he's been pretty good against the Chiefs in his career. He's actually 11-1 overall, including 5-1 in Arrowhead Stadium. And those two games last year combined to go 38 of 60 for 421 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's been pretty good. He's still Peyton Manning, even though he did struggle a little bit, is something to watch in this game on Thursday.
But if you watched that game, a lot of that had to do with the offensive line.
Yeah, if you look at the numbers at Pro Football Focus, they actually had 3 of the Broncos starters with negative grades. Now, those grades are subjective, but you look at what the Ravens were able to do. They sacked Peyton Manning 4 times in that game. That's not something you normally see from a quarterback like Peyton Manning, who likes to get the ball out quickly. The Chiefs also had 4 sacks against the Texans. So if they can get that kind of pressure on Thursday night, plus the crowd's going to help a little bit. I know Arrowhead Stadium's going to be rocking for that game, and they do a pretty good job on third down of creating some problems. But that's kind of the recipe for success with any quarterbacks to get pressure. Hopefully the Chiefs can do that on Thursday like they did last week.
Right, and you look at the Broncos win. And because there were those offensive struggles, the defense really had to step up, and they have a lot of playmakers.
They do, and they've got a lot of playmakers that a lot of people around Kansas City are actually be pretty familiar with. The two guys on the outside, both former Kansas Jayhawks, and cornerbacks Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib. Talib's actually the one who had the pick six return for the Broncos in that game against the Ravens late in the third quarter. A 51-yard return ultimately gave them that victory, but they play a lot of single high, a lot of cover one, and a lot of press on the outside, and they want their athletes to be out in space and to make plays, and that's exactly what Wade Phillips and that Broncos defense likes to do. Now, a lot of their jobs are made easier because of what kind of pressure those two outside linebackers and DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller are able to create. Last week had 11 quarterback hurries against Joe Flacco in that Ravens offense, which also struggled. So it was a defensive game last week. Hopefully the Chiefs can find the same kind of success they did against the Texans. Hopefully they can stymie the Broncos offense same way the Ravens did.
Well, there you go, BJ. Thank you. That's a lot of information for Chiefs fans to take in headed into Thursday. For BJ Kissel, I'm Pete Sweeney. And now you know what to focus on.
When we return on Chiefs Insider.
They said this guy, this African guy, he's 265. He runs a 4.440. I'm like, that's a lie. I don't believe that. That's just not possible.
I remember thinking at the time, he doesn't even realize kind of what he has. Like, he's running the ball, but he doesn't really realize kind of what he's doing.
Chiefs football was reborn in the late 80s and early 90s under head coach Marty Schottenheimer. And the catalyst for that rebirth was a strong running game, at times the best in the NFL, led by big bruising running back Christian Okoye. Okoye is one of the more interesting stories in all of Chiefs history. He came to the States to be a track athlete. He was getting ready for the Olympics. He didn't play football till 1984, and he was playing football at tiny Azusa Pacific. An unforgettable player and a person who makes an impact. Here's number 35, Christian Okoye.
I mean, when he walked out there, everybody was like, oh my God, I'd never seen anybody like that who called himself a running back.
I didn't know anything about the game. None.
One of our sons, his name is Christian Okoye. He is now in America playing American football.
They said this guy, this African guy, he's 265. He runs a 4.440. I'm like, that's a lie. I don't believe that. That's just not possible.
I remember thinking at the time, he doesn't even realize kind of what he has. Like, he's running the ball, but he doesn't really realize kind of what he's doing.
Christian, we're going to go 25 lead. Get your pads down and make a hole if there isn't one.
I got you.
Make a hole.
An incredible run with about five guys on his back by the Nigerian nightmare, Christian Okoye.
This whole thing about your life passing before you, it's true.
If you got him going north and south, he was unstoppable.
Boy, he is too big and too fast to be playing running back in the NFL.
He's going to wear your ass out. He's going to wear your ass out, baby.
We had a message to bring, and he was our primary letter carrier.
Okay, this is basketball, the dream, and this is the football, the nightmare. I mean, that's an unbelievable story.